Sunday after Pentecost, I want to talk to you about the importance of having trust and confidence in Almighty God, not only in the little things that happen to us every day, but especially in the big things. This last week here on Wednesday, I drove up from Omaha to Minnesota, and as I was driving up, I had to stop to visit a family. This particular family had just gone through a very tragic situation. Earlier this week, when the husband was at work, his co-worker was killed next to him. So on Monday, when his co-worker was killed, this husband that I was talking to, he was the first one there to help the gentleman after he had died. So when I stopped to visit this family and talk to them, they were very much traumatized. Why did God allow for this to happen? Why did God take this gentleman? They had been close friends at work, and also their families had been close together as well. They would oftentimes have dinner together with their children. So they were asking me, why? Why does God allow for this to happen? Well, my dear friends in Christ, we have to trust and have confidence in Almighty God. Almighty God knows what is best for us. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows all things that are taking place. But this is oftentimes not easy for us to do. How are we to practice having trust and confidence in our Lord, especially when tragedies or such hardships like this take place? We have to turn to prayer. It is especially by our prayers that we're going to trust in our Lord during the time of trial. But I'd like to mention, though, it's not every day that we have such heavy crosses or trials that we have to face. It's not every day that we have such great losses. But every day, God allows for you to practice trust and confidence in Him in the little ways. There are so many things that come up. I take, for example, somebody working on their homework. Say we're trying to study and get our work done here for the evening. As we're working on our homework, we get to a problem and we're not quite sure how to solve it. Well, first off, we might try for a little while and we're not getting the right answer, not getting through, or we might be working on a paper or something along that lines. We might start to get a little bit frustrated. We might want to cast it off. But that cannot be the case. When we run into those trials, those difficulties, the little things that come upon us every day, we have to turn to prayer. Trust in our Lord. Ask our Lord for help to bear with that cross, with that frustration, with that agitation, with that difficulty. Ask our Lord for help to overcome it. If it is God's will for you to bear with it, ask our Lord for the strength and the grace to hang on to it. I have to mention that our life here in this world is like a canvas or like a picture, and God is the divine artist. With your life, God already knows what He wants your life to look like when you leave this world. God knows what He wants you to accomplish. During life, just like an artist, things will happen to you that you might not be able to understand. You might not be able to see why it takes place that way. Just like when an artist, when he's painting his picture, he might make a stroke with a brush or a mark with his pencil, and if you're watching it, you'd ask, well, what's that supposed to be? And then you can't tell right then and there what he's doing. But he's like, be patient, be patient. You will understand all of the marks, you will understand all of the things in a short while. So too for us, when we have crosses and difficulties, bear with them with patience, prayer. Prayer is the first thing that is essential when it comes to bearing with those crosses. Also, when it comes to bearing with those crosses, it's important that we do our best to detach our hearts from the things of this world. The more our hearts are attached to creatures and the things of this world, the more we're going to be disturbed when things go astray. The more our hearts are attached to our possessions, our wealth, even our family, our friends, and our loved ones, the more difficult it's going to be to have to separate from them or to separate from some possession or thing. We want to do our very best to set our hearts on God alone. I like what our Lord tells us. He says, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. When we spend time with children, or even your own children, see how simple they are, how much they trust you, how confident they are in you. That is how we are to act when it comes to Almighty God. But what has happened? With the years of our life, the time that has gone by, our hearts have become more attached to creatures than they were when we were younger. We have to break those bonds. We have to do our very best to be in the world, but not of the world. A very good example of this is King Solomon in the Old Testament. The son of King David, which was Solomon, he He became king, Solomon, at the age of 20. He was a young man. And at that age, he was a God-fearing man. He feared God and he kept the commandments. So much so that God had told Solomon, ask of me whatever you want, and I will give it unto you. Solomon, at the time, he asked God for the gift of wisdom. He asked for the grace to be able to discern between good and evil. And you can see, you can read in Scripture, in the Old Testament, how he used that gift for good. In one occasion, one example, there were two women that came to him. What happened was, both of these women had an infant or a child. And during the middle of the night, the one mother accidentally killed her infant. I think maybe it says that she laid on her infant and the infant died. That evil mother went and traded her infant who had died with the other infant who was still sleeping and still alive. When these two women came to King Solomon, they both were fighting over the child that was still living. The one mother said, well, this is my child. And the other mother said, well, no, this is my child. So King Solomon, in his great wisdom that he received from God, he told someone, he said, go get me a sword. I need a sword. And when the sword arrived, he said, take the child, the living child, and cut the child in half. And give half of the child to this one mother, and give the other half of the child to the other mother. King Solomon was not going to cut the child in half. But he knew that when saying that, the true mother would rather see her child be given over to the other lady than to see her child be put to death. That's exactly what had happened. The true mother said, please, do not cut my child in half. Give the child to the other lady. I'd rather see the child live. The wicked lady said, cut the child in half. Divide the child in half. Give half to her and give half to me. King Solomon knew right away then who was the true mother, and so too the child was restored to the true mother. But the issue with Solomon is that he allowed for his heart to be attached to earthly goods, and he ended his life without honor, and he ended his life in much disgrace. In fact, it says that what he did was he built temples in honor of pagan idols, and this was done for pagan women. The scripture fathers say that before Solomon died, he did repent. But if you read in the Old Testament, this is what he writes at towards the end of his life. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I made me great works. I built me houses and planted vineyards. I made gardens and orchards and set them with trees of all kinds. I heaped together for myself silver and gold. I made me singing men and singing women. I surpassed in riches all that were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. Whatsoever my eyes desired, I refused them not, and I withheld not my heart from enjoying every pleasure. I saw in all things vanity and vexation of mind. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is all man. By these words he meant to say, all earthly possessions and joys are passing and cannot make a man truly happy. Only the fear and love of God can bring happiness on earth and joy in eternity. We should not therefore set our hearts on the good things of this earth, but strive with all of our hearts after those which are eternal. When things go astray in our life, when things don't go the way we want them to go, and we feel frustrated or agitated, part of the reason is that our hearts are so attached to the things that we have. We have to strive to be in the world, but not of the world. How we can do that is, especially, as I said, pray when those trials and difficulties come upon you. Even if it is something small, something at home, at work, school, whatever it might be, pray during that time of trial, difficulty. Prayer is going to be our key in order to see through it. Think about the children, as our Lord said, unless you become as a little child, you shall not enter in to the kingdom of heaven. If we pray our prayers well every day, and we strive to do our duties well, God wants us to work hard. He wants us to take care of ourselves. He wants us to keep our focus on heaven. If we do that, if we strive to pray our prayers well, fulfill our daily duties, keep our focus on heaven, when things go wrong during the day, you're going to find yourself turning and praying. You're not going to be so agitated. You're not going to be so frustrated. You're going to have that trust and confidence in our Lord that he wants us to have. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.